Daniel 4, Day 1, The Self-Satisfied King. Babylon was compelled to acknowledge and worship the Lord. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his amazing things! His kingdom is an eternal kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Divine Providence 129. It is a law of the divine providence that man should not be compelled by external means to think and will, and thus to believe and love the things of religion, but should persuade and at times compel himself to do so. Moreover, everyone knows that no one can be compelled to think what he is not willing to think, and to will what his thought forbids him to will, and thus to believe what he does not believe, and certainly what he is not willing to believe, and to love what he does not love, and certainly what he is not willing to love. For a man's spirit or mind is in full liberty to think, will, believe, and love. It is in this liberty by virtue of influx from the spiritual world, which does not compel. For man's spirit or mind is in that world, but not by virtue of influx from the natural world, which is not received unless the two act as one. Arcana 1675, Section 7. There are persuasions of falsity from the love of self, and there are persuasions of falsity from the love of the world. The persuasions that are from the love of self are most foul, but the persuasions from the love of the world are not so foul. The persuasions of falsity from the love of self are opposite to the celestial things of love, but the persuasions of falsity from the love of the world are opposite to the spiritual things of love. Persuasions from the love of self carry with them a desire to exercise command over all things, and so far as restraints are relaxed to them, they rush on, even to desire to exercise command over the universe, and even over Yehovah himself, as has been shown. Therefore, persuasions of this kind are not tolerated in the other life. But persuasions from the love of the world do not rush on so far, but only to the insanity of not being contented with one's lot. They vainly wish for a heavenly joy, and desire to appropriate the goods of others, but not so much with a disposition to exercise command. But the differences that exist among these persuasions are innumerable. True Christian Religion 146. Enlightenment and instruction are communicated especially to the clergy, because these belong to their office. An inauguration into the ministry carries these along with it. Moreover, when preaching from zeal, they believe themselves to be inspired, like the Lord's disciples upon whom he breathed, saying, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." Some affirm even that they have felt the influx. But they should be very careful not to persuade themselves that the zeal by which many are carried away while preaching is the divine operation in their hearts. For a like and even warmer zeal prevails with fanatics, as also with those who are in the utmost falsities of doctrine, and even with those who despise the word and worship nature instead of God. They fling faith and charity, as it were, into a bag on the back, but when preaching or teaching, they hang it before them like a sort of ruminatory stomach, from which they draw out and disgorge such things as they know will serve as food for their hearers. For zeal, considered in itself, is a glow of the natural man. If it has within it a love of truth, it is like the sacred fire that descended upon the apostles. You, who deny the holiness of the word and the divinity of the Lord, take, I pray, the bag from your back and open it, as you freely do in your privacy, and you will see. I know that those who are meant by Lucifer in Isaiah, who are such as belong to Babylon, when they enter a church, and still more when they ascend the pulpit, especially those who call themselves members of the Society of Jesus or Jesuits, are swept away by a zeal which with many springs from infernal love, and from it they cry out more vehemently, and from their breasts draw deeper sighs than those who are zealous from heavenly love. Questions and points for discussion. The beginning of the chapter starts with Nebuchadnezzar's acknowledgement of how great the high God is. In a negative sense, this can be taken as hypocritical. How does hypocrisy creep into our lives? How is it overcome? Do you see a connection between this story and self-righteousness? We read, "Domination over the holy things of the church and even over heaven," unquote, describes one of the key problems regarding the doctrine of the Catholic Church. We may see this, but do you think most Catholics recognize this? How should we handle these teachings in talking to Catholics that we know? Did Nebuchadnezzar's apparent conversion perform a use? Often people who are caught up in evil still have the word. Can you think of examples of how apparently evil people nevertheless serve important uses? How do you think the teachings about zeal in the priesthood might also apply to your life as you try to teach others? How does persuasion serve the love of dominion? In presenting the church to others, what is the difference between being persuasive and the evil persuasion spoken of here? Nebuchadnezzar was very proud. What is legitimate pride? What is illegitimate pride? Are you proud of the new church?